Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello and welcome to Visible by Numbers being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. There is unbelievable programming on BBS, so many great shows to choose from, so many interesting topics, and I thank you ever so much for tuning into my show this evening. I'm happy that you're here. Little bit of a late start, I'm thinking Mercury in retro or something along those lines, so I apologize that I'm just a little bit late. I do have a couple of quick announcements before I get to my guests, so if you don't mind, bear with me. September 14th, the Lancaster Women of Intention. I'm going to be the guest speaker talking about numerology, the autobiography of your soul. It's from 6 to 9:30 in Lancaster, PA. So if you live in the area, whether it's Harrisburg, southeastern PA, Lancaster area, I would love to meet you. If you want to find the details of that, you can find it on my own personal BBS pages for Visible by Numbers, or you can go to VickyFoxProductions.com for more info. Also, later on this evening, I'm going to be the guest on Darkness Radio. Tonight at, I think it'll be 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, and this should be a really interesting show because they're kind of testing me out a little bit on numerology. So you might want to tune in, see if I live, see if I make it through the show. And that's you can catch that show on darknessradio.com at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, on to my guest. Let's hurry, Allison. Hurry along. We're late. All right, Mark Anthony. We're so excited that he's back on the show. He was on the show a couple months ago, I got to say. We had a tremendous amount of email, a tremendous amount of comments on Facebook. Everybody just adored Mark's appearance with us, and he was so gracious. He was so wonderful. He did readings for our listening audience. I'm so delighted that he's back again this week. And let me tell you a little bit about him. He's called the Psychic Lawyer, and he's a practicing medium who specializes in communication with spirits. He has descended from a long line of psychically gifted people. For over a century, the psychics and mediums in his family have used their gifts to help people. I would like to be invited to one of those family reunions. But anyhow, he's also a successful attorney. He is a published author who's written several articles on both law and metaphysical phenomenon. His upcoming book, Spirits to the Rescue, is about healing grief with help from the other side. He is an accomplished public speaker who regularly discusses life after death and contact with the spirit world. He appears worldwide on radio and television as an expert in spirit contact and the paranormal. And he often serves as a guest lecturer at universities, civic, religious, spiritual, and grief support groups. His website, you might as well head on over there and read more about him, is HealGriefWithBelief.com. And even if you clicked on Visible by Numbers, the pages on BBS, you can find a direct link to his website right from there. And just hop on over there and read about him, because right now I'm going to bring him on the show. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Allison. It's so good to be here. I've really been looking forward to the show.
I am so sorry for the late start, okay? I hope you didn't get bored and fall asleep or anything.
No, I've been doing radio long enough. And I'm a lawyer, so I'm used to if the judge says be there at 9 o'clock, we're happy if he or she gets there at 10:30. So I'm good.
You're good with the delays. Okay. I can remember one time I sat in jury selection once, took forever, and I was very amused. Okay, go over here.
Powerful. Unforgettable.
Okay, so apparently we're getting a commercial during our show. Okay. All right. Let's groove this music. Okay. Okay, Mercury is indeed in retro. Okay.
Sorry about that. I'm trying to take care of a few too many things at once, I think.
That's okay, Don. We know you're multitasking. It's okay,
thank
sweetie.
Thank you. Have a great program. The lines are up. Everything seems to be working temporarily.
I should have had a Corona before the show. That's all I got to say. OK, Okay. Listen, Mark, were so wonderful on the last show. You did some really amazing readings for our listeners, and we truly do appreciate it. But, you know, and we went over a lot of stuff about your history and how you got to be a medium. But I think the one thing that always I'm curious about is why. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do in life. You're already an accomplished lawyer. So why would you take on the psychic mediumship? Because I would think that there's a lot of people that would be skeptical about that. It might have to take a little bit of slack being a lawyer, also being known as a medium. How does that work for you?
You know, sometimes you just have to take a leap of faith. And this ability runs in my family. I look at it as a gift from God, and it's a calling that's bigger than myself. Now, I don't look at myself as having an inflated view in the universe, but it is my mission in both my careers as a lawyer and as a medium to help people. As a lawyer, I help people with their legal problems. As a medium, I help people cope with the passing of a loved one. So to me, there's a harmony there. And for the skeptics, you know, you have to realize, as a lawyer, I'm trained in critical thinking. And I'm probably the worst skeptic of all. So before I can accept something as being genuine and real, I had to overcome my own critical skepticism.
Sure.
So, yeah. So for me, this is a calling.
Right. And both are noble professions, truly, you know. And when you dedicate to help people, no matter what the means, you know, that is a noble profession. So God bless your little heart.
And in both professions, the clients oftentimes don't listen to what you're saying. So. Sorry. I couldn't resist. But it's funny. It's like I was doing readings for this this group of people. They invited me to their home, and very sweet, wonderful people. And they'd had two deaths in the family earlier this year, very, very tragic, and it's within 6 weeks of each other. I mean, it was terrible.
Sure.
And for an hour, I'm giving evidence and everything, and finally the mother says, but are they together? And it's like, okay, they showed up with your grandparents, your dog, your cousin, and each other. Okay, if I can see all these people, I'm pretty sure they can see each other, especially when they came in together. And, you know, and it's funny. Or then it's like that movie with Jim Carrey, Liar, Liar, when he's this lawyer that something happens, now he can only tell the truth, and his client calls up and wants to know some advice. He's like, yeah, quit breaking the law. And you know, it's a lot of times people just don't want to listen.
Sure.
But it's not our job to sit in judgment. Our job is to convey the information,
right.
And then it's up to them what to do with it.
That's true, and I've certainly had a few frustrating numerology readings from time to time. I can never forget this one woman. I was saying that money and abundance would flow to her, that I saw money all around her, and she told me that nothing was farther from the truth. And, of course, I felt, you know, okay, so I continued to move on with the reading. And I said, okay, well, what's going on this year? Because it's been a very difficult year for you. And she says, oh, my God, yes. She says, I lost $876,000 in the stock market. And I'm sitting there going, okay, like how many of us have $876,000 in the stock market, and yet you tell me that money doesn't flow to you? Okay. Like,
yeah, you know, it's all relative, you know. I mean,
I guess. To me, that seemed like money would be flowing to you. I don't know. All right. So I was just kind of, sometimes you sit there with a smile on your face, and God bless them all, you know, each and every one, and just do the best you can. So I think it's a noble profession. When is your book going to come out? Because I know that you redid your website.
I did, and it's going to be undergoing yet another metamorphosis soon. The title of the book is now Let Go of Sorrow, Hold On to Love. Yeah, and it's really interesting, and it's a story worth telling, and I'll make it short. I had picked, when I was writing the manuscript, Spirits to the Rescue, because the theme of the book is how spirits help us heal from grief, because they communicate with us. They will reach out from the other side to make contact.
Uh-huh.
And I like, Spirits to the Rescue. But uh-huh. right after my mother, who was a great medium, fantastic medium, after she passed, I heard her voice. It's about a month after she passed, because I was having a really tough time with her passing. Mm-hmm. And I heard her say, "Mark, you have to let go of the sorrow and hold on to the love."
Ah.
And it was like, it was so beautiful, you know. So I wrote about that in my book. Well, anyway, the publisher gets it, which is Llewellyn Worldwide Publishing. Thank you,
wonderful.
Llewellyn. Love you, Llewellyn. And they said, their editor calls me and says, "You know, we submitted it to the editorial board, and we love the manuscript, but we don't like the title. And we came up with a new title." And I go, "What is it?" They go, "Let Go of Sorrow, Hold On to Love." And I almost fell out of my chair, and then I realized, okay.
Mom had a hand in that.
Mom had a hand in that, and there's a line I say in the book that my mother, and like any good mother, and Allison, I know that you're a mother, and for all the mothers out there, a mother would never let something like death get in the way of her telling her children what to do.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. You know, and it's funny, but for me, it's also very reassuring, and that's what I talk about in Let Go of Sorrow, Hold On to Love, is that even though somebody has physically died, who they are still exists, and our relationship goes from one of a physical nature to a spiritual one. And my book will be on bookshelves in June 2011.
Okay.
So I know it sounds like a long time. I had no idea the immense process that went into publishing a book, and it's really quite fascinating. So,
wonderful. Well,
yeah.
Just let me know when it gets to be around the time. And, of course, I want my autographed copy and absolutely will help you to promote it any way I can. Listen,
thank
Mark, we've got a caller on the line. So if you don't mind, you want to take a call?
Absolutely. That would be great.
Okay. So who's calling, please?
Hi. My name is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm good.
This is the first time I've ever called in to your show, so I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening, and thanks for calling in. What can we do for you?
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great, Michelle. It's good to hear from you tonight.
Thank you. I have kind of a weird question, I guess I could say.
Well, then you've come to the right place.
I'm hoping so. I recently visited a spiritual community, and it was a great place. My husband and I had a great time there. However, there were some events that occurred that I really don't have a good memory of. I can't put the pieces together. I'm just wondering if you guys have any insight at all, either one of you.
Okay. You're going to have to expand on that, because that's... All right, you went to a spiritual community. Was it for a day or for a week? Or, I mean, it wasn't like one of these, things you went for.
It was for a couple of days. It was an overnight. It was just a couple of days. It wasn't an actual retreat.
Okay. And was it sponsored by some type of religious or spiritual organization?
I believe it is. I'm not sure what.
Okay.
I know I sound like I'm being vague, but I'm just...
No, something doesn't feel right about this whole thing. And what I'm getting, Michelle, is that the people that were conducting it were not acting from the highest of intentions. And it feels to me that... And what's really sad is, you know, you would think that just because people are spiritual or spiritualist or spiritually oriented, and I'm not picking on any one group or religion or philosophy, that they would always be acting in the highest intentions of the white light. And I'm not getting that with this. I'm getting that this was more of, you know, they wanted your money and they wanted you to get tethered or connected to them so you will continue giving money, buying goods, buying services. Does that make sense?
It does, but aside from the money part, because I'm totally with you with the light versus darkness, because I really feel like this had a dark impact on me.
Yeah.
And I'm really trying not to. I almost feel like I was a science experiment, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. And let me guess, they supplied all the food and beverages.
Well, yeah, and I've tried to go back through all that to see what did I. You know, and nothing is coming up. And there were a lot of bad things that came out of this experience that I don't really remember. And I sound like a crazy person if I say
no,
them
no,
out loud.
No, you don't. There is, and I don't know if this is what happened there, but my suspicions my spider sense is tingling. A lot of cults, you know, C-U-L-T-S, cults, will have these quote-unquote spiritual retreats, and then they actually drug or put some type of either mild sedatives, sometimes not so mild sedatives, and in some cases a hallucinogenic type of drugs in the food and beverages that they serve people to artificially induce an ecstatic state, a phony spiritual experience, and also as an attempt to break down people's wills. Now, when I was an attorney, I mean, I am an attorney, but when I was a prosecutor, I remember I went to a seminar on cults and other, like, mind-controlling organizations, and I remember studying about that. And I'm just getting that feeling that this is a very, very dark group masquerading around as if they're in the light, and they're really not. And so what you need to do is not only distance yourself from those people, but refocus your spirituality onto something of a pure light nature. And what you need to realize, Michelle, is you don't need a book. You don't need a religion, a church, a temple, a mosque. You don't need a hypothetical heaven accessible only through a particular creed. In order to connect with the white light and to connect with God, all you need is yourself. And that is the lesson that you are to have learned from this entire experience. And the spirits that are around you, in particular, there's a grandmother spirit that I believe is emanating from your mother's side of the family, and she was just a sweet little lady who had a long and protracted passing, okay, because I see her depicted like in a bathrobe, like hospital gown, and mm-hmm. she was probably only around between 5'4 to 5'6. She had these little glasses. Her gray hair wasn't real long. It was kind of on the curly side. Does this make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. She's the one that's stepping forth, and she's saying this to you. She's saying, honey, okay? Honey is coming across. She goes, honey, you've got to learn to make your own decisions. And when I told you you were a little girl, don't talk to strangers. And these were bad people. Okay, so even though she's giving a very simplistic sounding message, there's a lot of levels to that. And she's the one that is emphatic that you had to learn your lesson by doing this, because when it comes down to it, Michelle, the answers that you seek are within you. The God that you seek is already connected to you, and you don't need anyone else to try to induce holiness, ecstasy, or a philosophy upon you.
And that I completely agree with 100%. You couldn't have said it any better. And I always thought of myself as that way. And I think that's why I've been so impacted by this.
And you are that way, but you were doubting it, and you thought, well, maybe I can find more from going outside. I know it sounds ridiculous, but remember in the movie The Wizard of Oz, the very end, what's her name, Judy Garland, what Dorothy
mm-hmm.
character, she said, you know, I didn't have to go any further than my own backyard. Now, I'm not telling everyone, you know, stay home and close your mind and, you know, never explore the world, but it gets into seeing the world, the universe, can be done from within. It's a connection with the God light, and you don't need to go elsewhere to do it. Now, let me preface that to all the listeners. I'm not saying do not join a church, a synagogue, a temple, a mosque. I'm not telling you to turn your back on your religion. But what I'm telling you is nothing spiritual, nothing about God and true connections with God is controlling and manipulative. Okay, and so when you get into a spiritual group that our God is the only God, our way is the only way, our book is the only way, and here, drink the Kool-Aid, okay, that's when you know you're not in the right place. And Michelle, that lesson was presented to you, so now you know once and for all what you need to do. You already have the skill set, the faith, the beliefs, everything you need is within you.
Okay. Okay, thank you both very much.
All right, thanks, Michelle.
Thanks for calling.
All right. I'm not sure, but I think just as we came online, we had a caller, Karen, on the line. Do we still have Karen online?
Yes, this is Karen.
Okay. You up for another call, Mark?
I sure am. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Mark. I love your sense of humor.
Thank you. It's gotten me in a lot of trouble. I used to imitate judges, and I remember one time this judge walked in the courtroom, and he got on the bench, and he goes, I hear somebody here does a good impersonation of me, and he's looking right at me, and I'm like, oh, my God. So I learned never imitate judges.
I can appreciate that myself. I'm calling lost my husband in December, and I'm trying to find a little bit of closure. I wonder if you could help me with that.
Did he have some type of severe blow or impact or pain in his chest?
No.
Okay. All right. Because I'm getting a man that I feel like a tremendous amount of weight or pressure is on the my upper right chest region.
Could be a possibility. He was very he didn't share his illness or that he was ill or anything like that with me. I knew he wasn't feeling well, but he wasn't very open about it.
And I'm also getting that there was a lot of he had cold sweats and things.
Yes.
Okay. His passing feels like it was coming on for some time, but when he went, it was massive, like wham, like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. He's a very funny guy. You remember when Steve Martin used to say, I am one suave and deboner kind of guy? Remember he used to do that whole type
yes.
of swagger thing?
Yes.
I'm getting that your husband could be very funny, and he would say something like that. You know, because he's making a joke that he goes, well, I am one very suave and, debonair type of guy. But I also get that beyond the humor, he was also a very distinguished person. In other words, when he walked into a room, people took notice. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on. He has, and I know a lot of men do, but he seems like he had an interest or a fascination with cars, possibly even vintage cars, is what I'm getting. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So it seems like we've got him. I don't know if he had a mustache, but he may have had a mustache at some point in his life. Does that make sense?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Yeah, he's making a real point. He liked his mustache, too. He's, brushing it and hey, look at this, So he's a very funny guy. He's the type of guy I really would have liked to sat down and had a beer with and just talk to him because it seems like he always had stories to tell and he was very animated about things when he would get into his public persona. But in his private persona, okay, with you, he was very intense and serious, and he loved you madly, and that's how he's putting it, M-A-D-L-Y. He goes, I loved you madly. And also I'm hearing that Doors song, she loved her madly, something like that. Okay, so I don't know if his musical taste was early 70s,
mm-hmm.
but okay, all right, so he's definitely doing that. Okay, let me get a message from him. Hold on. You have to wait. Okay, hold on, let's see what he means by that. Okay. No, that's what he's saying, is you have to wait. let me see if he'll expand on that. He says that it's going to take a lot of time. He says that you feel like you're lost in the woods and that you can't see the forest through the trees, and you feel sometimes that you're just lost and alone and it's a dark forest and that you're just wandering aimlessly. Okay, this is in response to his death. And it's the grieving process that you're going through. He also says that he feels that you're really putting some unrealistic expectations on your recovery from grief. You're trying to say, okay, I'm getting better, I'm getting better, I'm getting better. And he's saying that's one of the things that you always did. Something that he liked and something that would be a bit of contention between the two of you. You're very good at getting things done. When you set your mind to something, it's going to happen, and you're very organized about it. Unfortunately, he's saying you can't really do this with your emotions. Does this make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And he says, okay, all right, there's a threefold message here. Let me see. Did he like baseball by any chance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because he's standing there with a catcher's mitt, and a ball flew in, and he goes, "It's not like you're going to catch one like me again." Okay. So,
yeah, I could hear him saying that.
God, this guy's a riot. The name Steve is coming across. I don't think it's his name, but the name Steve. Does the name Steve make any sense to you?
No.
Okay. We'll let that one go for now. It could be somebody that's over there with him, but Steve just came through. All right. Hold on a second. He said, "You'll know when it's okay to date." And he says, and he doesn't want you to think that you're cheating on him or you're being disrespectful to him. That's why he wanted to preface that with a joke. What is it about licorice? Licorice or a liqueur, something licorice. It's like a dark, kind of dark candy with that licorice-y type of taste. That is coming through very strong. Does that make sense?
Maybe a liqueur.
Liqueur. Okay, I'm getting licorice liqueur, and I'm getting that because I don't really like stuff like that. And it's like, ugh, you know. And I'm drinking it. It's like I can't stand licorice, and I can't stand those type of liqueurs. But he's making it a point. It's a darker one too. Okay, let me see what he means by that. Oh, okay. You don't have to respond to this. I'm just going to say. Sometimes people self-medicate, try to cope with their pain and issues, all right, and not such a great idea, all right? So you don't even have to respond to that one. Let me see what he wants to. There are two women connected with you. They're on this side. They're here. They're in the material world that are very good allies, friends, helping you get through this. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. One of them he particularly wasn't real fond of, but he likes her a lot more now that he's on the other side. And he said, lean on these people. Not lean on them to be a burden, he says, but they're there to help you. And he says that he knows that you will be there to help them in their time of need. Okay? And he said that this is a good thing. He's also saying it's time for you to start getting out more. And by getting out more, that doesn't mean, you know, you have to be out at bars dancing on tables till 4 in the morning. That's not what he's saying. He says it's time to make an effort to go out. You know, maybe go to the movies with your friends, do some things. He said take a drive on that road that we used to go on. I am assuming from what he's telling me, there was like every now and then you guys would go for a drive. There'd be like the scenic type drive you'd go on. He goes, it's okay. Okay, even when you think of him and you want to burst into tears when you're doing it, he goes, that's okay. Because by doing that, you're going to work your way through it. And so that's what that's the message he wants to give you.
Okay.
Okay, Karen?
Yep. I thank you very much, Mark.
Oh, thank you, Karen. He's a lot of fun. It was great connecting with him. I mean, I would love to do a lengthy reading. I think I would probably sit there and laugh through most of the reading because he keeps coming out with these, like, really funny images. He's a great guy. He loves you still. He always will. And he's always going to be a positive influence in your life.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Karen. Okay. Wow. Every time you read, I get lost in the ethers with you, Mark. I just keep going off with you.
I know. It's. I love working with you, Allison. I mean, it's like you have such a great energy. It's a lot of fun, and I'll tell you, it really helps because, you know, in any type of metaphysical work, what we do, and this is for the benefit of the listeners, is we create an energetic field. And when you're working, when I'm working with someone like Allison, who has this tremendously revved up energy, okay, you put our energy together, and so we can create an energetic field, and it makes it easier for the spirits to communicate with us because they're stepping into that energy, and then we get, you know, quick messages, and the communication's much more rapid. So it's a lot of fun working with Allison.
Well, it's fun just hanging out here listening to you do all the work. I'm like, woohoo, I'm taking the night off already then. And, you know, I hate to put you to work, but I'm almost, I don't know if we're getting nonstop calls. and I don't want to make you tired, and I don't want to exhaust you, but are you ready for another caller?
I'm cranked up. I'm ready to roll.
He's ready to rock and roll. All right, so did we have somebody else beep in? Do we have another caller on the line?
Yes, hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Jen. Hello to both you and Mark. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. What can we do for you?
I actually have a question that either one of you, actually. We lost my family. We lost my older sister beginning of the year. And it was kind of a mystery to us as exactly what happened. She had passed suddenly in her sleep. And she had had issues with addiction in the past, and she had been in and out of rehab. And we would like to think that it was an accident and it wasn't something intentional. We just recently got the death report back, and they stated that it seemed to be an accidental overdose. And, you know, we want to believe that that's the case. So I guess I'm just kind of asking if you could tap into that, and, or, you know, even to her, to see if she has any messages.
Jen, did she have mitral valve prolapse at some point in her life? Did she have some type of issue with her heart?
Well, we recently, probably 2.5 weeks before she passed, she was in the hospital. And I'm sorry, she was actually going to rehab at that time for probably the fifth time. And they found something wrong at that time. I don't think they ever diagnosed it, but they had started her on heart medication. But I don't know if they gave her a diagnosis.
Okay, yep. Okay. Yeah, because I started feeling and hearing mitral valve prolapse, mitral valve. Now, I have a hard time getting people's first names, but their medical conditions, not a problem.
Okay.
I never understood that. Okay. what it is, over the course of her addiction, and she had a lot of, she was very unhappy, okay?
Yes.
She had a lot of unhappiness in her life. And what she is communicating, she says that nobody really quite understood, and everyone was like, snap out of it, you know, you shouldn't feel this way. And that was mm-hmm. just the way that she was. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and there was really nothing anybody could have done about it. She says she doesn't want anybody feeling guilty about it. She had done so much damage to her body over the years, and your sister was not a strong person physically. She could force herself through situations, and, I mean, she had several harrowing experiences, that's how she puts it, where she could have died on at least 4 different occasions prior to this, is what I'm getting. And what had happened was her body just couldn't take it anymore. And she says, no, it was not intentional. In other words, she did not commit suicide. It's just that her body gave out. But on the other hand, you know, she'd been committing suicide for years because drug addiction is an insidious form of suicide. I've seen that in my work as a lawyer. I have seen that in thousands of cases, and then as a medium when I connect with people like this. But what is important for her is that in the bigger scheme of things, she had gotten to the point in her journey, in her fight with depression, that she was actually emerging from it. And while on one hand you and your family, and I understand this, I'm conveying what she's telling me, look at her passing as a terrible tragedy, she accomplished what she needed to do in this life, which was overcome that. And she got to that point, she conquered her inner demons, if you will, and then it was time to go. And she says that her passing was very peaceful. And that when she stepped out of her body, she actually sat there or stood there or hovered there, however they do it, for a while and looked at her body and said, now that's very interesting, okay? But she knows how hard everyone's taken it. Your mother is still here, isn't she? Jen?
Jen, are you still on the line, dear? Oh, dear, and they must have lost her, or maybe because they were having problems with the phone lines. So maybe we kind of lost her. That would be a shame.
That's a shame because, well, let me, if Jen can hear this, I'm getting that her mother is still here or the mother is somehow connected, and the mother went through a lot of blaming herself for the sister's behavior, and Jen's sister says, do not do that,
mm-hmm.
okay? So, Jen, if we can get you back, that's what the message is.
Right, and also, Jen, if you're listening, these shows are archived. Jen, is that you?
No, that's not Jen. That's another caller. Jen is not back yet.
Okay, thank you, honey. Thanks. Okay, and what I wanted to say to Jen, if you're listening to the shows are archived, and usually the archive is up the next day, within a day or two, and you can re-listen back to the show and re-listen back to your reading. And before I take the next caller, I just want to validate something with you, Mark, because when Jen called, the first thing I got was her heart gave out.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there going, why do I know that? And then I got something about years, the progression of years of drugs wore down her body. And then next thing you know, you're saying these things. So I was sitting there going, well, if I had to answer that question, that would have been how I answered it. So that was kind of cool for me.
Yeah.
I guess I get way more psychic when I'm around psychic mediums. It's pretty cool.
Well, it's that energetic field building up, and see what's happening is you're tapping. We're both, we're both tapping into the same link, so
right.
We're getting the same information. And what's fascinating is, hello.
No, go keep going.
Okay, but what's fascinating is, when I was in England studying mediumship at Arthur Findlay College, which is basically Hogwarts for mediums, but it's funny, but we were learning about the energetic fields and then how to get more than one person to be tapping into this link, because that is objective verification
right.
of the information, and that's
right.
really great when we can do that.
Right. Well, it's always interesting to me that. It's not to say that I don't have my psychic brilliant moments, but it's like when I get around psychics and mediums, I tend to be even more so. So when somebody asks you a question, I'm just sitting here giving the answer in my head, and then you start saying it, and I'm like, well, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah,
we do have the
yeah.
caller we lost, I believe. We do have the caller we lost.
Hi, Jen, is that you?
No, it's Kim, Allison. How are you?
Oh, good. Hi, Kim. How are you? Well, I guess Jen is still off in the ether.
All right. I'm sorry. I got confused by the name.
That's okay. Thanks,
Don. Shoot me. Thank you.
It's all right. It's one of those nights. Hello. I still
Hello. Well, no, I actually did call Allison, and it hung up on me when I was waiting to get through. So.
Oh, well, so look at the patience you have.
I was fortunate to get back through. But I just have a question really for either one of you. Just wondering, is there any messages from my dad or my daughter? They both passed within 11 months of each other.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry, sweetie.
Thank you.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
Was your daughter fairly young when she passed?
Yes, she was.
Okay. And she was kind of a girly girl, is what I'm getting.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, very sweet, and she used to like to sing, or she liked music a lot.
Loved
it. Yeah, just an adorable, I love her energy. I mean, she's just sweet. And what was really wonderful about her is she was one of these children that could amuse herself. In other words,
yes.
She didn't need to be entertained constantly. I had a nephew that's like, if you didn't lock your attention on him constantly, he'd start throwing things at you until you did. But with her, you could just, she would take, and she was also very spiritual in a
yes.
way. And I'm getting that she had the invisible friends, or she would talk to people, okay?
Yes, she would. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, yes, she's around. Hold on. And she's with Daddy. Holding his hand. Your husband didn't talk a lot. He's one of these guys that he used his words very sparingly, and he would say things like, "Yep, uh-huh, you're right, got it." Does that make sense?
My dad?
Yes. Oh, I thought
yes.
It was your husband. Your dad. Okay. Yeah, because I'm getting this, you know, very, very matter of fact type of guy.
Right.
And I'm getting that the way he's depicted, the way he's depicting himself is he's wearing like a white button-down shirt, kind of rolled up the sleeves about halfway up his forearms. He's wearing like a pair of dark-colored slacks, which means to me that he had the type of job, not necessarily office work, but something where he had to keep track of things and more of a indoor supervisory type of job. Does that make sense?
Yes, he was an elevator mechanic.
Bingo. Okay. Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me see what he's got to say.
Okay.
He says you always used to ask a lot of questions.
That I did?
You did.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And he said, it got... Hold on, I don't mean to laugh. God, everyone coming through tonight.
Okay.
It's funny. He's like, he goes, yep, yeah. And what it is, like he'd be working on something, and you'd be like standing right there. So what's this, and why, and da-da-da-da-da, and
yeah.
Then as you, yeah, you know, and he wants to apologize because he said a lot of times he was only half listening. He also said that's something that used to annoy your mother because she'd be telling him things. You're like, uh-huh, yep, right, got it. But the thing is, when it came to something that was really important, he listened. Your dad was one of these people that he had a very active mind, and the thing is, it was like he was there, but he wasn't, okay, because he was always mm-hmm. thinking and concentrating on other things. Your dad was also very good at multitasking, is what I'm
yeah.
getting. Okay, now, let's see. I don't know if he was very mechanically inclined, and I'm seeing your daughter, yeah, your daughter like on a swing or a swing set that he's pushing her in the swing. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and I'm getting the sense that if he didn't build the swing set for her, he had a lot to do with engineering it, as he would say.
He actually built it.
Aha. See, that was what I got. I should have just said it, but I sort of said it. Okay. All
yeah.
right. Okay. So, to answer your question, yes, he is with your daughter. They're, you know, he's pushing around. You know, what he's showing is a beautiful setting, nice summer, spring day, breezy,
mm-hmm.
dry. They're together. They're very happy. I think your daughter liked cats, like a kitty
yeah.
or something like that. Yeah, because she's with a kitty, as she puts it. And hold on, let me get a message, because they want to give a joint message to you. There's a flower that whenever you look at it, it makes you think of them. And the flower has yellow in it, yellow and white. And actually, there's two flowers. The sunflower makes you think of him, and the daisy makes you think of her. This is what they're saying. I don't fully understand what that means, but I want to convey that to you.
Yes, I understand.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay.
All right, Kim, can I just say one thing? Because the one thing I kind of kept, I get the feeling that that you know that they're there. I get the feeling that you get visitations or feelings.
Oh, yeah,
or,
I do see them. Not as
cause
often as I used to.
Yeah, because I'm kind of getting like you're kind of standing there going, well, I don't know that we're together. We're always around her, and she knows it. So that's
yeah,
kind of what I was thinking.
I don't see them. I don't understand why I don't see them like I used to. I mean, I do still see them, but not as often as I used to. I mean, I know they're busy on the other side, but.
Well, your dad's chiming in on this one. Your dad's chiming in. Did your dad drink a lot of soda, like Coke, out of a bottle?
Yes, he did. You sure did. Out of a glass. He would never drink out of plastic. Everything he had to eat off of a glass plate and drink
yeah.
out of glasses.
Okay. Yeah, because he's sitting there, like, taking a sip off this Coke, and he's like, there she goes again with the questions.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And what That's he's
good.
Saying is we don't have to, all right? He says, you know. You already
right.
have that answer.
Right.
And he says that doesn't mean that we've abandoned you or left you. Okay,
mm-hmm.
he says, but it's time for you, and this is your dad, it's time for you to move on. And that's what's really nice about your dad. Very matter of fact, very blunt, and very to the point.
And straight to the point.
straight to the point. I mean, this guy is, you know, he is yeah. There's no mincing words. He goes, time for you to move on. And I don't know if he was Southern, but I keep getting this kind of feel to my voice like that, the way he talked.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Southern Maryland.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right, there we go.
Wonderful.
Yep,
and wonderful. I just want to make one comment, and I just noticed it, and that's why I laughed. While I was listening to you do the reading, do you know what I drew? I was doodling. I drew a daisy, okay? Or it could
perfect.
Be construed as, and I was doodling, and I was drawing it, and then all of a sudden I put two and two together, okay? So I guess I would tell, also validate the daisy and the sunflower thing, because I drew a flower while I was listening to you do the reading, so, before you even said it, so.
Wow, we are really tuned in, Allison. This is
I know. Because I just looked down and I go, oh, my God, he just said daisy flower. Oh, my God. I just
yeah,
and I usually
but,
don't do that. I was just
well,
kind of bizarre.
You know, and it sounds very cliche because a lot of mediums are like, okay, there's a flower they're giving you. You know, but we get these messages. But this one, it just came through so loud and clear. And, you know, I've learned when I get something like that, convey it.
Right,
okay?
Exactly.
I'd rather risk, you know, it being misinterpreted by me than miss an important piece of information.
Exactly.
So,
okay. Well, thanks for calling, Kim. I bet you feel better now, right? Or do you think she already hung up?
Wow, Mercury in retrograde is really cranking tonight.
What a buzz. You know, I can do this show seamlessly, week after week after week after week. Mercury goes in retro. I swear, everything goes totally amok. Everything does. So anyhow, I apologize to everybody that's getting lost or whatever. I apologize for that. You know, one thing that you did say, and I kind of want to expand upon that a little bit, about you get the message and you don't know exactly what it is, right?
Right.
But it's rather than sit there and hold on to it thinking it sounds really dumb, it's better to convey it, and then that person would probably that's where you take your ego and you get it out of the way, okay?
Right.
Well, you don't try to rationalize things. You know, and I was sitting in a workshop, and a woman asked me a question, and she said, what if you never liked your name at birth? And she says, I never liked my name. And then I, for some bizarre reason, I saw a picture of my daughter's dog named Lulu. And I, next thing you know, I hear my voice saying, did you ever think of calling yourself Lulu? And then I thought to myself, how stupid are you, Allison? Why would you just blurt that out? That's so ridiculous. And she looks at me and she says, my mother and my father argued over my name. My mother won and she named me Mary Ann. My father wanted to name me Mary Lou.
Wow.
And so there was the Lou in the Lulu. And so sometimes you got to get out of the way because you don't know why it came through. And even though it sounds really dumb when you say it at the time, it meant something to her.
Right.
meant something to her because that was the Lou, and Mary Lou as opposed to Mary Ann. And I thought to myself, how cool is that? And Allison, pay attention to that. And a lot of people out there, I know that when you're interested in mediums and psychics and spirituality, and you, basically what you're doing is you yourself hold that energy to a certain extent. You're receiving messages. I mean, oftentimes people are trying to learn in order to know what to do with it. And so that's a little tidbit for you, both from Mark and myself tonight. You know, you get something, you give it. It may not make sense. It might sound a little stupid at the time, but you have to get your ego out of the way and just allow it to come through, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Right. Well, like I say, that was one of those bizarre things. Let me just ask you, because I know what my answer would be, but let's say someone has someone that's crossed over and it's rather recent and they maybe don't understand or perceive what the signs might be, what it would feel like to have your loved one near you and that sort of thing. If you were to answer that question, what does it feel like when you're having a visitation, when your loved one is close to you? What kind of signs usually come through? Would you like to answer that one, Mark?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in fact, I wrote about that in my upcoming book, Let Go of Sorrow, Hold On to Love, about how they let us know they're with us. And there's so many different ways. I mean, it can just be you catch a glimpse of them out of your peripheral vision. You feel like you're being watched. You feel a familiar presence. all of a sudden you smell a perfume, maybe like your mother's perfume, and you don't have perfume in the house. It's like, how did that get there? Unexplained electrical phenomenon, lights blinking, TVs acting strange when you feel the presence of a spirit. Dreams are a very popular way for spirits to connect with us, and I'll spare the long technical explanation, but in the sleep state, we are conducive to psychic phenomenon, and that's why spirits will utilize that. So there's a lot of ways, and people, particularly after the death of a loved one, people are very open psychically because it's an emotionally based activity. We're crushed, we're grieving, and emotions have taken over. So that's why oftentimes right after the passing of a loved one is when they are perceived the most. And then as you begin to stabilize emotionally and some normalcy returns to your life, it, for many people, it seems like the contact experiences get less and less frequent.
Right,
doesn't
right.
mean the spirits aren't there. It's just, you know, whether or not we're paying attention.
Right, and I understand that completely. Listen, I do think that we heard another beep, but I'm going to give you a little word of warning. The best I'm going to give you on this one is maybe 3 or 4 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so make it short. Do we have another caller?
Hi, Allison.
Hi, who's this?
This is Kim. I had gotten disconnected, and I wanted to call back and thank you and Mark for my reading tonight.
Okay,
I know we don't have much time.
Okay, Okay. Well, we're glad that you made it back, and I think that was really an extraordinary reading. I was immensely...
It was. Awesome.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad you got through, sweetie, and you can always listen to it back again.
Yes, I wanted to get back through, like I said, and thank the both of you. And
right. Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, dear.
Thanks,
Kim. Okay.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye, Kim. Take care. And also, anyone that got a reading tonight, I want to remind you that if you go to the archives for Visible by Numbers, you can actually download the archive and listen to it again. You can actually download it to your computer and listen to it again. I think that would be a wonderful thing to have. Mark, tell everybody what your website is again.
My website is healgriefwithbelief.com, and you can get in touch with me through that. You can also friend me on Facebook, so I'm at healgriefwithbelief.com.
Right. Make sure you Facebook Mark. Also, there's information on how you can contact him for readings. There's also testimonials there, so you can read what other people have said about their readings. Mark has a blog, and certainly I think when his book comes out, this will be where you want to go to find out about his book and get a copy of it. So healgriefwithbelief.com. Didn't make it easy for us, did he? Just couldn't do markanthony.com, could you?
Well, mediummarkanthony.com works, too, as does thepsychiclawyer.com.
Perfect.
Yeah, I own a lot of the domain names because that's what the publisher wanted me to do.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, good, because that's great, because I'm trying to think of me repping my 10-watt IQ. Sometimes I'm really airheaded. I was like trying to healing grief with belief. Okay, I can get that. For me, you got to keep it simple, okay? Anything after the second word, I get lost, okay? Or misspell it or something like that. So anyhow, that's his website, so make sure you all go there to visit it. So what do you got coming up for you besides the book, Mark?
Well, I've got several radio shows coming up, which I do post on Facebook. And I think there may be a couple television appearances. I was on a couple TV shows earlier this year, so you know we're you know boosting that. And but right now it's like I'm just getting everything put together for the book, and very excited about that.
How do you manage a legal career with this? And especially given the fact, and if you don't mind my saying so, you're going to find yourself immensely more busy doing the mediumship work. So how are you going to balance both careers?
Well, I'm hoping to be able to embrace the mediumship full time. I mean, I'll always be a lawyer, and you know, I'm always going to have a foot in that world. But you know, I enjoy writing books. I enjoy lecturing. I like doing the public appearances. I like doing the readings. You know what it is? It's all so exciting and so fun for me. To me, it's like as long as I get maybe a day a week off, I'm good. I'm just a busy guy.
Well, I do want to say, Mark, that I really truly appreciated you come back on the show. You always are a welcome guest. Anytime you want to come back on, all you got to do is shoot me an email, and we'll find a date for you. I also have to say that I've had innumerable amount of psychics and mediums on the show and people that have done readings. And really, you do a marvelous job. I'm extremely impressed. And I got to say, I'm a skeptic. I mean, as much as I know I'm a numerologist, I know I do readings, I've experienced all these things. I know that everything is possible. But for me, you know, when somebody does a reading, I tend to be, you know, pretty tough. You know, I like to see the evidence. I like to, you know, really get that information. And I always find listening to you do your readings on my show, I find you to be a very extraordinary reader. And so I guess I'm giving you the Alison Bachman seal of approval.
Let me tell you, and that means a lot. And I appreciate it. And you know, it's fun when you say you're a skeptic. Well, tonight you were in the link and you were picking up.
Close.
Oh, okay. You were picking up a lot of the information. So kudos to you, Alison.
Okay. Well, thanks. Well, I like hanging around with you anyhow. It's always good for my psyche. So anyhow, we're going to close out the show. We want to thank everyone that called into the show, all the people that were listening. Truly appreciating you guys coming every Monday night to listen to the show. And we'll be back again next week. We have Shelly Duffy on, and first time on the show, so I'm really excited to talk to her. And again, Mark's website is healinggriefwithbelief.com, but you also can get there by medium Mark Anthony and the Psychic Lawyer. And so, Mark, you take care and stay in touch, okay?
Thank you. God bless you, Allison.
All right. God bless you. And abundant blessings, everyone. See you again next week. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.